Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and thank you for tuning in. It's good to spend time with you every chance we get. We have with us today on our show, Bob and Mary Griswold.
Hello.
Hello.
We have Melissa Potter.
Hello.
We have Pete Benton.
Let the light of freedom shine upon America.
Hal and Rainer James.
Hey there, y'all.
That's our CCTA Wake Up Call crew, and we're still missing Doug Gould, as Doug is recovering. He's been down in the dumps a little bit with the virus and things going on, him and his wife. And he's also a very, very busy man working on the election audit materials. So Doug's doing good. He's doing better. He's regaining his strength, and we hope to be spending some time with him soon. As a special guest this evening, we've got one of the most popular men in Raleigh, and that's Keith Kidwell.
I don't know about all that now.
I tell you what, Keith.
I'm popular in my house, I think.
You're popular a lot of places, but not with the bad guys.
Right, and well, we like it that
I
way.
I don't ever want to be popular with them.
We like it that way. Well, the house is still in session.
We're still up there. Matter of fact, we're told next week we'll plan on being there starting Monday evening with votes and possibly going all the way through to Friday. So it's going to be busier than what it's been. We've really not had a whole lot going on, waiting on budgets and redistricting and that type of stuff.
Well, I'm going to let you take the floor and tell us just what the hot topics are and just what is transpiring up there.
Well, let's shoot the elephant in the room right off the bat, and I think that's that lovely article that the Sun Journal wrote about me the last day or so, talking about how I was a member of a terrorist organization called Oath Keepers, and didn't know they were a terrorist organization because back in 2012, it was a American constitutional organization that encouraged those who had taken the oath, either through the military or through police or whatever, and sworn an oath, and I contacted them, and, you know, I'd sworn an oath as a notary, as an enrolled agent, as different things that I've done over my life, and they said, yeah, you can join, and their mission statement just basically says, and I can't quote it, it's on their website if you go look at it. Having only been a member 1 year, I didn't memorize all that stuff, but it just says that the people will support and defend the oath that we took to the Constitution, to defend it from all enemies, foreign and domestic. And that pretty much summarizes it. And under the current democratic regime, that makes you a terrorist.
Well, then,
so if that makes me a terrorist, then I'm guilty as charged.
Well, so would the the members of the Supreme Court, the vice president, the president, all the members of all those that have taken that oath, it looks to me like they would all be terrorists because...
Yeah. Well, let me start with this. I did not go to D.C. January 6th. I just didn't see it as something I needed to attend. I had plenty of work to do at the General Assembly and at my business. Well, so, you know, I'm just going to go out on a limb here, and I don't know for sure, but I'm going to bet there were members of, let's say, the NRA. I'm going to think there was Grassroots North Carolina, Gun Rights America. I'll bet you there was Knights of Columbus, Moose Lodge, Elks, Lions Club, Rotary, Raritan. You know, I could go on and on. I'm sure there was members of every type of organization you could imagine that were up in D.C. on January 6th. I know there was teachers, and I know there were police and fire and military. Does that make everybody who's ever been in any of those organizations a terrorist? And that's a serious question.
No, but it does make everybody that was in Washington, D.C. on January the 6th a terrorist, according to the current justice system.
Well, and that's a whole other problem that we have to deal with. But, you know, my point here is they're trying to say that anybody who's ever had any affiliation with any organization. Now, let's go back and look. I'm a Roman Catholic, okay? I can recall Democrats saying that Roman Catholics, because we are pro-life, are horrible people. I don't know if they use the word terrorist, but they use something similar to say that we're just horrible people because we're trying to infringe on women's so-called right to have an abortion, which, by the way, I don't find that in the Constitution. Just saying.
Yep.
I haven't seen that. Lots of people think lots of things that people call rights that I keep going back and trying to find in the Constitution. I don't see them there. But, you know, that's okay. But, you know, for them to tie anybody that's ever been a member of anything and then say they're a terrorist, that makes the Cub Scouts, the Boy Scouts, you know, I'm sure there were some girls there that had been Girl Scouts. Are they terrorists too? You know, is every member that's ever been a member of a pregnancy center or a certain sect of a church that there were members of, you know, was there a Baptist in D.C. on January 6th? I'll bet there were. Does that make the entire Baptist church terrorists?
No.
Well, let's get real, guys, because that's ridiculous.
Well, what it boils down to, Keith, is that anybody that stands up for the Constitution as it was written and supports that Constitution and wants to defend that Constitution and the biblical principles that this country was founded on, they are going against our current administration, which that makes them anti-government, according to the current administration. So they can label us as anti-government and label us as terrorists and insurrectionists. That's all labels that they're putting on us just for standing up for our rights, our freedoms, and our Constitution.
Now, you know, I'm not all concerned about what the left calls me, to be honest with you. You know, I sat here while my wife and I were sick. Matter of fact, as you all know, Vicky has been through, she had COVID pneumonia, a heart attack, triple bypass, and then sepsis on top of that, all in 7 weeks. And as the Speaker of the House introduced her on the floor yesterday, one of the toughest women in North Carolina in his mind. People sat and sent me emails, text messages, phone calls, letters saying, I hope your wife dies, I hope you die, called her all types of vile names. And this because she's married to a conservative. One guy even said, I hope you die because you voted for Donald Trump. Now, A, I guess he can assume I voted for Donald Trump because I'm a Republican and I have my pictures with Donald. But truthfully, you don't know if I did or not. Okay? It's a secret ballot. But, you know, it's amazing what the left will say. Now, could you imagine what would happen if I were to turn around and wish death upon some Democrat who got COVID and said nasty things about their spouse? Can you imagine what the news would do with that?
Absolutely.
If a Republican were to do that?
No, they'd be calling for you to be ousted.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. They'd cancel you, I think, is the current term. Okay.
And I remember the Sun Journal couldn't wait to report that you and Vicky had COVID.
That's probably two articles the Sun Journal has run that had anything to do with me because I've sent them the good work that I've been trying to do, like reining in the governor's overreach and suing the governor to get our churches back open and the lawsuits to get the hair salons and the gyms open and the budgets and tax cuts that I've tried to pass. And they haven't published any of that when we sent them press releases.
Nope.
But they'll attack my wife and I when we're sick, and then they'll turn around and attack me because of this perceived terrorist group that they know nothing about.
Right. Rainer, you had a question?
Not a question, but a comment. You were talking about the Oath Keepers and the people who went on January the 6th who were mostly patriots and peace-loving and wanting to make a point for redress of grievances. Calling them terrorists, I think what they are illustrating is that the current people occupying positions of power, however illegally and inappropriately, could be called tyrannical, quite accurately.
Well, when I look at a government, and I don't care if it's state or federal, that will tell me I have to wear a particular item, that I have to get a certain medical procedure, again, let's go back to the Constitution and show me where they have derived that authority or power, because I don't see it.
Amen.
Okay.
Yep. I'm with you.
Yeah. I'm pretty well educated. I've read a lot. I've read the Federalist Papers, the Anti-Federalist. I've studied the Constitution, and I don't find that. I don't find that authority or power granted to the government. And if you can show it to me, I'll gladly look at it.
I've read most of those, too, and I cannot show it to you because I don't believe it's there.
It's not there, and we all know good well it's not there. And I'm glad to see organizations. Let's talk about our sheriffs. Matter of fact, the Beaufort Observer attacked me because I said that sheriffs have a certain power that I guess the author of that article, Hood Richardson, doesn't believe they have. Well, the sheriff actually exercises and demonstrates that power when they say we're not going to enforce the federal government or the state government mandates and executive orders on masks and vaccinations.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a prime example of where our Constitution says certain things or doesn't, and it also shows you where the enforcement arm comes from, or the lack thereof, when the government is overreaching, that the sheriffs don't have to enforce those types of regulations, okay, because they're not constitutional. And it's quite simple, and I know the sheriff of Craven and Beaufort County both said, no, we're not doing that.
Yes, thank heaven.
Okay, so in reference to our governor and him saying he has these powers to tell us to get this vaccination or to wear a mask or to not go outside your home or for church to not convene. That was the one that really got me started. We do have that power. And to Hood Richardson and saying the sheriffs don't have the authority to put down the laws that are not laws, let's call them what they are, executive orders and mandates that come from the federal government. Yes, they do, because they've done it already in most of the counties in North Carolina.
What Hood did.
And you can find example after example of that in a book written by Sheriff Richard Mack, and it's called The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope. Great book. I've bought three or four of them. Matter of fact, Hood Richardson in his article says that Representative Kidwell couldn't provide him any proof. Hood, I'm going to send you a copy of that book directly from Amazon.com. You can read it.
And look, Hood would benefit in knowing that the sheriff is the most powerful law enforcement official in the land because he is the only law enforcement official that is elected by we the people. His power comes directly from the people. He's not appointed. Somebody up there in Raleigh can't tell him what to do. His power comes from the people in his county that elected him. And he can tell the federal agents that come in here, say they were going to come in here and confiscate our weapons. He could say, not in my county. You get out now.
That's right. That's exactly right. And this is where when we try and dismantle the sheriff's department as a primary law enforcement in a county, it's a bad idea because a police department does not have that constitutional authority.
Amen.
All right.
That's simple.
Well, Melissa's got a question or a statement, but we need to take a break to hear from our sponsors, and we're going to come right back, and then we'll go to Melissa.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government. to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, we have special guest Representative Keith Kidwell with us this evening, and he's talking to us about activities in Raleigh. We're glad to get the information that you are doing much better and that Vicki is recovering, and we're glad to hear that. And we agree with the Speaker of the House. She is one of the toughest women in the state. So before we went to break, Melissa.
Rick, you know she has to be tough. She's been married to me for 40 years.
Yeah, but I think you need to be tough, too, because I've seen her. I think she can handle you.
I know it.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure. I'm ducking and running if she starts coming.
Right, I'm pretty sure she can handle you. All right, Melissa.
Yep.
Yeah, Keith, I just wanted to go back to the powers that they feel that they have to give us these mandates and act as though they're law. It's not been 5 months since Pelosi, the president, the vice president, all of them have been on news doing press conferences that they don't have the power to enforce mandates,
right,
like getting a vaccine or, you know, the mask mandates. They all said they did not have the power. The government does not have the power to do that. Fauci, all of them. And now we're supposed to believe 5 months later, I mean, less than 5 months later, that they're telling us they do have that power. This whole confusion with this vaccine hesitation is all on them. They created this mess. They created this storm. Without, you know, we're not going to focus on any of the therapeutics to treat. We're going to go only with this vaccine. This is the only plan. You know, not letting people have a choice. They started this storm. And for you to go, you know, to tell Cooper, we're done with this. We are not taking, we're taking our power back. I applaud you for that. That's exactly what we need you there for.
Yep, absolutely.
I stood on the floor of the House last year. March or April, somewhere around there, when the governor was coming out with his mask mandate. I knew it was coming. It was about 11 o'clock in the morning. I had just addressed a COVID bill. I don't remember which one it was. But at the end of it, I said, Mr. Speaker, a point of personal privilege, if you would, sir, deliver a message from me to the governor. Representative Kidwell will not wear a mask. Now, two reasons. One, he does not have the authority to tell me what to do. And I really am horrible and people telling me what to do. My parents learned that lesson when I was a young child. Okay, it doesn't go well. All right. So, and my wife will find that even today, as tough as she is, don't tell me I have to, because have to in my brain just bounces around and doesn't come out well. The second thing is I had already done the studying on masks, and masks, guys, let's call it the way it is. The only mask that actually works is an N95 or better, okay? An N95 worn correctly. What is correctly? You change it once an hour, okay? You don't have a beard, a mustache, or any other facial hair, okay? You have it properly tied back behind your ears as to create a total seal. Now, study I read about 3 weeks ago on this, if you wear anything less than that, it is totally useless. It does nothing. The N95 properly worn reduced, in the studies they did, three different studies, reduced COVID and other viral transmission by 11%.
Oh, geez.
Okay? Come on. By 11%? Seriously?
Right.
Boy. You know, I don't get it. I don't get it. And the bottom line, why am I going to put a mask on if you're vaccinated? Right. Okay? Because if you're vaccinated, you're protected.
And if you're vaccinated, why do you want me to put a mask on?
Well, evidently, if you're vaccinated, you're not protected, because many vaccinated people are now coming down with the COVID and being hospitalized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Rick, the other thing you have to pay attention to is a lot of people that are vaccinated are actually spreading COVID more than those who are not,
yep,
because they contract the virus, may not realize they're sick or think they only have a cold, okay, because it's not bad enough to be COVID, but they're actually transmitting COVID. So there are studies out there that show the vaccinated people are actually transmitting COVID more than the unvaccinated.
Right.
Okay. So don't tell me this vaccine saves everything. Now let's talk about how often they want to have you get your vaccine renewed now. You have to get a booster shot initially after 3 months and then six. And now we're talking about, you know, who knows, ongoing booster shots every several months. I don't know. And here's where I'm at, guys. You want to get vaccinated? Have at it. You want to wear a mask? Do that too. I don't care. You want to stay home? You don't want to go to church? I don't care. You know why I don't care? It's America. It's a free country. You can do as you please.
Absolutely. I agree.
You know, you said that there was more people spreading, being vaccinated. And the reason for that is because they feel like if you're vaccinated, you're golden. You know, they're having these right. events saying you can come with proof of vaccine. I would rather you come to my event with proof of negative test results, right? But I can't go get on a plane with a negative test result, but I can get on a plane with a vaccine card. Right? But that does not prove anything.
It proves absolutely nothing. Because let's look at it this way. Donald Trump, when he was president, got COVID. Okay? Donald Trump, the most protected man on the planet. Okay? Everybody that walked in the White House had their temperature taken and a COVID test before they walked in. Then they had their temperature taken again if they didn't go directly to meet with the president. Let's say their meeting with him was later that day. They had to have their temperature taken again. Donald Trump still got COVID. Why? Because, let me tell you, when I was sick with COVID, my temperature never went above that requisite 100.4, ever.
Oh, wow.
Okay? I never sneezed once. I didn't cough. Okay? By the time I was sick enough to go to the hospital, the COVID virus was done. Okay? So You can't tell me that taking my temperature is going to do anything, because it doesn't tell you. My normal temperature is like 97.5. If I have a temperature, and this is the highest mine went the whole time I had COVID, 99 degrees, 99. They would not have stopped me from entering a building at 99 degrees, but I had COVID.
Wow.
Okay.
Hal?
So
one of the things I want to add to that conversation is I think one of the most hurtful and harmful to the economy and to the nation has been this business of companies requiring people to take the COVID vaccination backs to keep their jobs. And you look way it's tied up, aviation, the transportation,
yeah,
trucking, things like that, where supplies are liable to go real scarce again, or gasoline prices are skyrocketing.
Yep.
And I think that's part of that whole situation. Our son John quit his job because they required that he take a shot, and he just refused to do it, and he's in a fortunate position that he didn't really have to have that job, but a lot of people are not in that position.
Right.
So I think that's been harmful. And I wanted to add back to the sheriff conversation that Sheriff Chip Hughes here in Craven County makes a great thing of the fact that he has an office and not a department. In other words, he's an elected person,
that's
like
right.
you said, Rick, and he calls that his office.
Right, office of the sheriff.
Yep. Office of the sheriff, because that indicates
Ernie
he's elected,
Boulder
right.
County says the same thing, Hal. Says the same exact thing. So
I want to interject something about the mandates here real quick. There's a public service announcement you may or may not have heard on the radio, and I think it's the Small Business Association or anyway, it's for small businesses. And the whole purpose of the PSA is to tell you, be considerate of the employees in these businesses when they ask you to wear a mask, because it's required by law. Well, that's totally not true. It's a mandate. It's not required by law. But people are hearing this blasted out. It's a propaganda thing going on, and many people are buying into it.
I've heard it and yelled back at it a number of times.
Keith?
Let me address the mandates from the perspective of an employer and from the government. A, the government does not have the authority, and I've tried to pass legislation to this effect, to mandate masks or vaccines. Okay, I've got several bills I've either written or co-sponsored in Raleigh that I'm trying to get this passed. Everybody I know in the Republican Party that I've spoken with in the General Assembly says the same thing. Problem is, we can't pass it because the governor is going to veto it, and we will not get any override from the Democrats. Now, let's look at it as a business owner. I own a business, and I know some people that came up to my office in Raleigh got really mad with me for what I'm about to tell you, but I'm sorry. This is the truth of the matter. The government also does not have the authority to tell a business what they can or cannot require of their employees. Okay? So the government should not be able to tell me I have to tell my employees to wear a mask or get vaccinated. They also do not have the authority or power to tell me I can't require it. All right? Why? Think about this from a constitutional perspective, people. If I give the government the authority, either direction, I have ceded the power of the private property owner to the government.
Right.
Now, every bill I consider, I look at it from several perspectives. First, what does the Bible say about that? Is it biblical? Okay. Is it, you know, is it a pro-life bill? Yes, that's good. Is it a pro-death bill, an abortion bill? No, I'm going to vote against it from my perspective of the Bible. Second, what does our Constitution say about these authorities and powers? Okay. Now, the Constitution does not grant the government either of those powers to tell me I have to or to tell me I can't, as a business owner, require something of my employees. Lastly, I look at the bill and say, what is the worst possible outcome that this legislation will have? And here's what I think of saying businesses cannot require a vaccine mandate. What else did I just give the government power to do? Unintended consequences. Can they now say that I can't require a certain effort from the employee, that they have to display a certain credential? What happens? Where does that stop that I can be interfered with by the government and how I run my business? Okay. You know, I feel this way about firearms. I'm a big Second Amendment supporter. But if you want to put a sign on your business that says no firearms allowed, God bless you, go ahead and do it. Because it's your right as the property owner to do so.
And now, some of us will stay away.
That also means I don't have to work there. It also means I don't have to go there. Okay? I can tell you I've walked away from business after business when they have up signs that say no gun. I've also walked away from business after business and said, sorry, you can't come in without a mask. Okay, I'll go somewhere else.
Keith, this is Mary. There is an article up today in the conservative treehouse that the FDA panel has voted 17-0 to approve the vaccine for 5 to 11-year-olds. The interesting part of the article is the quote from one of the panelists, Dr. Rubin, who says, "We're never going to learn about how safe the vaccine is until we start giving it." That's the way it goes.
All right.
My child, the guinea pig.
That goes along with the same philosophy that we won't know what's in the bill until we pass it.
But these are our children.
Yes, that's horrible.
Yep.
Keith, I talk to a lot of business people around in our area, and one of the things that you said kind of rung a bell with me. One particular person complains a lot about having to do the bookkeeping for the U.S. government to withhold pay for the income taxes to keep a record of it.
I'm sorry.
What?
I lost you guys for about a minute there. I don't know what happened.
Okay, I'll back up. What I'm saying is I visit with a lot of the professional people and business people in the New Bern area. And one of them in particular has complained to me a lot about how much the government makes him go through in bookkeeping and work for them, collecting maybe some of the parts, the sales taxes on the parts and turning them in. Withholding income tax and keeping a record of that and turning the money into the government. He says he's already doing a lot of bookkeeping for the government, a lot of things that he doesn't feel like the government should really have the power to require of him, but they do, and he has to do it.
Yep.
What would he say about that?
How bad is it going to be when they start wanting to have you report every transaction at $600 or more?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I feel the same way about Walmart. I mean, yeah. They make me check myself out, and they're not paying me to do it. Pete?
Good evening, Keith.
I refuse to use that.
Keith, Pete Benton.
Hey,
God
Pete.
Bless you, brother.
How you
keep
doing,
up
Pete?
The fight. Wonderful. We prayed for
you
and Vicky.
Hey, I got a good
appreciate
quote.
That very much.
You better believe it, brother. You better believe it. Ronald Reagan once said, as the power of a corrupt federal government expands, so do the sovereign rights of the people contract. That is the major issue we're facing today, okay? And I would go one step further to tell you about the vaccination program. I heard a good quote. Vaccines are safe and effective when they make billions for pharmaceutical companies.
Amen to that.
So you may recall that the left came out and said that ivermectin was only a horse medicine and all of this.
Anti-parasitic.
Let's talk about the fact it was actually invented for what they call river eye.
Correct.
It kills the parasite that causes river eye. Let's talk about, I believe it was 2015, it was given a Nobel Prize.
Correct.
Because of its impact on humanity, was on the level with penicillin and aspirin.
Correct.
And it was just as great as both of those drugs.
Yeah.
Now, let's also talk about the fact my doctor and a couple other doctors I know, I won't mention the name here because I'll let them talk for themselves, have told me ivermectin works.
Here's
what
does.
Ivermectin doesn't do.
I knew that's what he was talking about.
Here's what it doesn't do. If you get COVID, you have to take the ivermectin in about 7 days or less.
That's correct.
Because the COVID runs its course and starts to die off. If you take it 10 days out, and that's honestly, Vicky and I didn't get diagnosed with COVID until 12 days into the symptoms.
Wow.
Vicky was 10 in, I was 12 in. So the ivermectin wasn't going to work for us. Why? Because the virus had run its course.
Yes.
Now what we had to deal with was the damage done by the virus.
Yeah.
Okay? The example being, I do taxes for one of the top cancer doctors over in Greenville. That doctor told me that they can cure just about any cancer from your body.
Mm-hmm.
The problem they can't solve is the damage the cancer has done.
Yeah.
They said that, in fact, most people walk through the door, they're already dead. Okay? Because the cancer has run its course, done the damage. They can cut the cancer out. They can kill the cancer, but they can't fix what it's done. And COVID works the same way.
Yep.
So if you kill it with ivermectin, okay, or I know several doctors that are diagnosed that are prescribing ivermectin prophylactically.
Yeah.
Okay? So talk to your doctor. See if they're willing to do that. Because it's actually, if you look in the countries that have done it, some of the provinces in India, some of the other countries in South America, started giving ivermectin, to all their citizens.
Yep. Oh,
and they had very low, almost zero incidences of COVID. Why? Because ivermectin, and why does the government do it the way they're doing it? Ivermectin, a month supply for an average person, is about $5.
Yes.
What's the vaccine cost, guys? I don't know.
Billions.
But I heard Pfizer made over $15 billion last year just off the vaccine.
That's a correct figure.
I don't know if that's true, but that's what I heard.
Yeah.
Okay. So follow the money. I think you might find some answers to why we're going the way we're going.
Sure. God bless, brother.
All right. Well, we need to take another break and hear from our sponsors, guys. So we'll do that, and we'll come right back and continue our conversation with Representative Keith Kidwell.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, we're talking with Representative Keith Kidwell, and he's filling us in on some of the things going up in Raleigh. He's also talking to us about the COVID-19 and his experience with it and his wife Vicky's experience with it. And Rainer has handed me a sheet here. There's a good website that gives you a lot of information, and it's put out by scientists, and one of them is local here in Carteret County, but it's called COVID-19 Science-Based Information, and the web address is www.c19science.info. That's www.c19, like COVID-19. science.info. So you can go there, and there's a world of information there that may help you out. Keith, let's jump off of the COVID onto another train here. And as I go to the North Carolina legislative site, ncleg.gov, to see what the heck is going on in Raleigh. And what hits me the strongest right off the bat is I see governor's veto of Senate Bill 360, governor's veto of House Bill 805, governor's veto of House Bill 324, governor's veto of Senate Bill 636, governor's veto of House Bill 398, the pistol purchase permit repeal, governor's veto of House Bill 352, governor's veto of House Bill 720. The governor's a busy fella. Y'all ain't doing nothing.
No, it doesn't take very long to write veto.
Anyway,
only a four-letter word. I guess that's the only one he can spell. I don't know.
One at the top, though, is one that's currently going on, and that's redistricting. Can you give us a status update on that?
Well, yeah, I would love to. I'm not on the redistricting committee, so I'm not privy to what they're doing. And I'm going to be honest with you, I don't want to be. That sounds kind of evasive, but that's just where it is. The reason I don't want to be is we know the Democrats have already lined up, from what we've heard, four lawsuits, and we haven't even drawn that yet. Okay? So how do you file a lawsuit, or think about filing a lawsuit? Maybe you're actually going to like the maps when we're done. I don't know.
All right.
I've not seen the maps. I've not heard what the districts look like, other than stuff that people have put on Facebook. I had somebody send me a text message on Facebook with a map that I think came from Duke, which is public information, and they asked me to comment on it. I deleted it and sent back to them and said, sorry, I'm not looking at maps, because Representative Kidwell does not want to be called into court to testify that I said something wrong about redistricting and screw up the process, because I think that's where we are. So I'm totally avoiding redistricting. If I was on the committee, I still wouldn't tell you anything about it, because if we do, it's going to end up being fodder for the Democrats to use and to use in court. Here's what I can tell you. There is a mandate by the courts that came out a few years back that says the maps must be drawn to these specifications. To my understanding, that is what we're going to do. Okay? Beyond that, I really can't tell you anything about the maps other than that they're working, they're in progress, we're hoping to be voting on them next week.
Keith, I went on the website that the General Assembly has, and there's one link called Maps Submitted by Members. So I took some looks at those, and it's kind of surprising to see that it looked like the district that we're in here in Craven County would be just, for the House I'm talking about, would not even include all of Craven County. We'd lose some of it down to Carteret County and wouldn't include any part of any other county. That's the one that I saw, and I didn't like that. But, you know, that would mean you wouldn't represent
so,
Craven
how,
at all.
So what they have to do, and I'll give you a great example with Pitt County, okay?
Yeah.
Pitt County, when you take the new number, and I think that number is somewhere around 83,000 people, you have to try and establish a county that has 83,000 people or whatever that number is and make a district of that, okay? Oh. So if they can do that, they first have to do that. Pitt County, I think you have 180,000 people, you cut that in half, it falls within the 5% plus or minus of what the new districts have to be. Pitt County, based on that, should end up with two representatives.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, where currently it's shared by three different representatives. So that's what they have to do based on what the courts told us the last time the maps were redrawn under court order. And so my understanding, that's the effort that's going forth now, is how they make that happen. What the map looks like for Craven, I don't know.
Well,
I really don't. I haven't looked at it.
Okay.
The bottom line is what we're doing is what the courts have asked us to do. And I think that's the wise thing to do, so that we don't end up like we did the last time around in court for 10 years.
Okay. One other question, and I'll drop the subject. Numbers all look so different, you know, and I guess that would be natural. Everything would change. So the number of each one of the House districts looks like it's going to be different than they are now.
Yeah, I would imagine that's going to be true. I know that when they redrew the maps, they created the 79th district.
Right.
Previously, the 79th was Julia Howard's district, and she's all the way at the other end of the state.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know how they're going to renumber them, if they'll go, you know, start in the middle and go clockwise, or, you know, up and down from right to left. I have no idea.
Well, the darn thing fascinates me for some reason.
Here's what I can tell you. You can't draw a district that includes Beaufort County that I won't win the re-election in. That's all I care about.
Amen. Okay, well, there's one other comment on the redistricting before we move on, and that's if you go to ncleg.gov and right at the top where they have the links on redistricting, one of the links is the House Redistricting Committee and Senate Redistricting and Elections Committee are accepting public comments on House, Senate, and Congressional District plans. If you click on the public comments link, it'll take you to a form that you can fill out, and how you can give them heck.
Yeah. It also says that you can
Here's an interesting thing, and then we'll move on to the next topic. When you look at the redistricting, one of the comments I heard, and I think this might have been in the media, I'm not sure, it was either the media or on the website, which I've not read any of, so somebody would have told me. Here's the bottom line. This guy said there's not enough transparency in how they're drawing the map. I don't know who that is, but here's what I can tell you. I don't know what else you could do to make it more transparent other than maybe take it in the middle of a park somewhere and put up a tent and invite everybody in. Because what they're doing is they have the largest conference room in the General Assembly building with cameras and microphones on all the time.
Yeah.
And anything that anybody says or does in that room, including the tweaking of maps, goes online real time. I don't know how you can get more transparent than that. Yeah. I really don't.
I agree.
Well, Keith, I want to jump to a topic that I've been following you on that I know you can speak on because you're heading a big part of it, and that's the Election Integrity Bill. And I know that that's a big bill going forward, but it also seems to be in just about every single state in the United States. If this was the safest, most secure election, why are we having all these election integrity issues come up?
All right, so let me give you my take on what's happened in North Carolina. I will not speak to any other state, okay? You know, what happened in Georgia, Arizona, Pennsylvania, I don't know. I'm not in those states. I don't study their situation. I am trying to do what I can to make sure that our election process in North Carolina is protected and transparent. Okay? I want to make sure that every legal vote is counted and not a single illegal vote. All right. And that's what I've been making my effort to do. Now, did we have massive fraud in North Carolina that would have changed the presidential election? Okay, guys, let me just give you one tidbit of information. Trump won North Carolina.
Yep.
Okay?
Yeah.
So why we would want to audit the North Carolina presidential election is beyond me. Okay? Next, if you audit Cooper's election, hey, Dan Forrest, are you listening? Dan would have been the guy that would have had to put up the protest against that election. He never did. Why? All of our polling, all the Republican polling, showed the elections coming out exactly the way they did. There was almost no deviation save one election. And that one election was the Cooper-Forrest election. We projected Cooper winning by more than he did. So Dan pulled it out in the last couple of days. He pulled out a couple extra points. But ultimately, we knew going into this, Dan Forrest was losing the governor election.
What about the attorney general?
The attorney general is the only one I know. Major Dave has shown where there's some possible problems with the attorney general's race. But if we go in and do a full audit, what race is most likely to have a problem, guys? Does anybody know? You're not going to like it.
It's going to be the Supreme Court justice.
It's going to be the newbie race.
Yep.
Okay? And now I want you to think about the newbie race.
408
votes or 410 votes he wins by.
So we're going to do
a big audit. That's the race that has the most chance of changing. Okay? It's also the race we don't want to see change, clearly. I mean, yeah, we got the Supreme Court. We won. Hey, thank you. So we lost Cooper and we lost the AG. Everything else we did okay. Now, was there cheating in North Carolina? I'm sure there was. Matter of fact, they had somebody got arrested for something recently because they voted illegally and they're penalizing them for doing it. So you know there's fraud. To what extent, we don't know. Let me ask you this question. Let's go back and prove that, let's say there's 2 million votes out there that should have been in Forrest's favor and they weren't, and now we can prove by numbers that Dan Forrest actually won the election. Do you know what that changes? Nothing. Because Cooper's already sworn in.
Right.
Once they swear them in, it's over. Now I have people, well, we can take them to court and sue them. Okay. How long do you think that's going to take? The term's 4 years. All right. Are we going to get it done in less than 4 years? No. There's no way. It won't get through the courts that fast. All right. So the ultimate bottom line is, I don't think there was enough cheating in North Carolina to change the outcome. Okay. Was there cheating? Absolutely. Were there inaccuracies? Absolutely. But it doesn't change the election. Here's what we need to do in my mind, and I could be wrong. I'm sure I'm going to get all kinds of letters that tell me I am. We need to protect our elections moving forward.
Absolutely.
First thing I have is a bill. I have a bill that says all voting equipment used in the state of North Carolina and software must be from United States companies.
Keith, why not chuck the machines all together? I really think there was a lot of cheating in the state, not so much in North Carolina, I think there was some, but it was flipping votes, people on computers, most of them in China, flipping votes in the United States.
Raider, like I said, I am only going to speak to North Carolina, okay? I have enough to do with keeping up with what we're doing, and here's what I know. In North Carolina, we use a machine called a tabulator. So it's not actually a computer. There's some question, are these machines, do they have the ability to hook to the internet? So we have the old machine, the 100 model, that were built with modems at the request of the state, because back in 2006, they thought that's how we were going to go. Since then, a law was passed in North Carolina that says no modems are permitted in the equipment and that all new machines would not have them. The new machine, the model 200, in North Carolina does not have a modem. Now, does it have the ability to have a modem installed? Yes, it does. Just like you can go down and buy a computer that has a modem board in it, or you can buy one that doesn't. That's up to you. And that's what happened. So the machine we buy in North Carolina from the company that it's bought from has the ability to have a modem because other states do want modems. Now, what I did is I inspected several machines from North Carolina, one from North Carolina's inventory, that we went in and looked. I took a computer technician in that knows what he's doing. He looked at the machine. We went through with a fine-tooth comb. There is no modem. We had a sample machine from the company that said, this is the machine with the modem. You can clearly see the modem. You could also clearly see the boxes that we have. And I encourage you, next time you go to the Board of Elections, look at them. They don't even have a hole in them to put a cord through. Now, can you get a wireless modem? Yes, you can. But they're not on North Carolina equipment that I've investigated to this point.
Thank you for your checking.
Keith, I hate to cut
you. We're going to continue. Yeah, go ahead.
I hate to cut in here, but we've got to get a break in real quick, and then we'll come back and wrap up. All right.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. East 70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
How would you like to buy a present, be inspired, and have your spirits lifted? It's easy. Just visit Carolina Creations at 317 Pollock Street in downtown New Bern. You'll find an amazing array of gallery-worthy paintings, one-of-a-kind jewelry, pottery, glassware, greeting cards, personal adornments, and all sorts of temptations. Everything is displayed to please the eye. Prices run the gamut from a few dollars to a few thousand dollars. Many items are by local artists and artisans. Carolina Creations has been voted Best Gallery, Best Gift Shop, and Best Jewelry Store by the Sun Journal's readers. Stop in and see why. The friendly, knowledgeable staff will let you browse to your heart's content or swing into helpful mode if that's needed. You'll enjoy a visit to Carolina Creations. That's a promise.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, as we've been talking to Representative Keith Kidwell, and we're talking about election integrity, I want to make a quick announcement. If you're listening to this on Saturday morning, there's a special event this evening, which is October 29th at 6:30 p.m. It's called The Crime of the Century, Exposed and Analyzed, and it's revealing the evidence, data, and theft of the November 3rd election, and it's going to be held at the Crystal Coast Civic Center in Moorhead City, and you can get tickets by going to www.wtpe, which is We the People, events.org. That's wtpeevents.org, and the speakers are going to be Joe Altman and Draza Smith, Lady Draza. So that's this evening at 6:30 p.m. if you're listening on Saturday. All right, Keith, go ahead and wrap up for us.
So, yeah, with the election integrity, I think here's what we need to do. Number one, the people voted a constitutional amendment to get voter ID. Yeah, that needs to be finalized. It's in the courts right now. I think we're going to win that because it's just it's common sense. As a matter of fact, most Democrats you talk to on the street are going to tell you they're in favor of voter ID. So that's going to solve a lot of the fraud problem that we have in all the states if we can get it in all the states. But North Carolina, I'm very hopeful by 2024 at the latest, we'll have voter ID in place. So that's going to be a big part of the problem. I am looking at every aspect of voting, and the Freedom Caucus and I have decided that we are going to try and take the lead on this to push through and make sure that we are transparent in how the elections are tabulated, how the numbers are put up online, and to make sure that we protect the integrity of the elections in North Carolina. We have four or five different bills. We're going to present them as different bills because if we don't dot an I or cross a T, the governor's going to veto all of the work. So we're going to give enough bills that hopefully we can get at least some of them passed. Good. Here's what we need to have, guys. We need to have a big turnout in 2022. Give us a supermajority in the House and the Senate in the state of North Carolina, because when you do that, when you give us the supermajority, I will personally go out and purchase a Samsonite suitcase as big as I can find. I will personally take it to the governor's mansion with a note that says, Governor, pack up and go home. You're irrelevant. We have a supermajority.
All right. Well, Keith, we want to thank you for spending some time with us this evening. You've shared some information that is very enlightening. And as always, we thank you for standing tall, standing firm, and not backing down. And we just hope you keep on going forward. That's all the time we have for today's show. CCTA Wake Up Call airs Saturday and Sundays every week, and we hope you'll tune in. We also have a monthly public meeting the third Tuesday of every month, and we invite you to come to Stanley Hall Ballroom and join us for that. You can find out information about all these things, including the archived radio shows, at cctaxpayers.com. You can also find us on Telegram. Just search for CCTA. You'll find our Wake Up Call channel, and you'll find our CCTA group there on Telegram. Lots of information being shared there. All right, looking forward to being with you again next week.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.